This morning, I kind of wanted to pull all the loose ends together that have been studied this year in the book of John, and I want to go back to the key verse and just expound on that a little bit. And I want this morning to be an encouragement to your heart. More than anything, that's what I want it to be. So let's invite the Lord to join us in this look at this key verse in the book of John. Father God, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would move this morning in a new way, that we would wrap this book up and put it in such a way that we would see you even yet in a different light. Lord, I pray that we would be rejoicing by the end of the morning for what a great God that you are. And I thank you ahead of time for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's take this. We had two verses there, John 20, 30, and 31. I'm going to focus on verse 31. And you have talked about it in your groups already today. It says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So my question to myself was, what are we called to believe about Jesus? What are we called to believe about Jesus? And there are two things there. First, that he is the Christ, and secondly, that he is the Son of God. Then there is a result out of believing, and that is life in his name. So my question was, what does Jesus the Christ mean? And if I looked it up in my handy Blue Letter Bible concordance, I discovered that it means anointed one. That is just the definition of the word, anointed one. We also use the word Messiah as a comparison. And so John is basically saying that the one, this anointed one, is the one that had been promised in the Old Testament. So I want to go all the way back to Genesis this morning. I appreciated Kendra's thoughts. Because that's where I was going, and I thought, oh, someone else is thinking like I am. So I want to go back to that perfect paradise in the garden. This is when God and man spent time together. They hung out together. They went on afternoon walks together. They talked. They fellowshipped. And it was a wonderful setting. And yet, this wonderful relationship that God had with man was broken one day. A scheme of the devil. And it left Adam and Eve living only a very small portion of the life they had had. And I don't know if you've ever stopped to really think about that. While they were in God's presence in his garden, it was phenomenal. And what they had after the fall was devastating by comparison. It must have given them this sinking feeling, and maybe you've had that at some point in your life, the sinking feeling in your belly, you know, that it cost them so much. The things around them now were full of deceit and selfishness, hatred, dying, and a lot of work just to keep things in order. It was chaos. It led to murder, their own sons, you know, fighting, bickering. What a disaster. This month, you know, as they reflected back on what they had, this was just a little slice of what they used to have. It must have really been devastating. So in order, and we know the storyline of the Bible, creation, then fall, and Marilyn shared that with us this morning, redemption and restoration. So God appointed some in the Old Testament to carry on his work of letting us know who he is. And those anointed ones in the Old Testament were people that God anointed himself, and they served in three capacities. First of all, God wanted to reveal himself to men so we could get to know him. And the ones who were anointed for that purpose were prophets. Prophets were anointed for God's work of revealing who he is. God spoke to them directly, and they in turn spoke the word of God to men. Remember Elijah in the Old Testament, and he was the one who brokered for rain against Baal and those that he was deceiving. And then at the end of his life, maybe you remember that he anointed Elisha, another prophet, to be the prophet after him. Isaiah was a prophet of God. He spoke, he had the Spirit of God and was anointed to preach the good news to the poor, is what he said in Isaiah chapter 61. So God used prophets in the Old Testament to let people know who he was or who he is. Well, secondly, God always had it in mind to reconcile us to himself so that we could come to him. He wants us to come to him. So in the Old Testament, he anointed priests. Prophets were the ones anointed for the work of God's revealing him to us. Priests, on the other hand, were appointed for God's work of reconciliation. And so the prophets spoke on our behalf to God. And they did that through a series of sacrifices and offerings on behalf of the people to bring us to God. Well, the ceremony for anointing a high priest can be found in Exodus 29, and it's when Aaron was anointed by Moses, and Moses took a horn of oil and poured it over his head, and it came running down, and it came down his beard, and it must have glistened in the sunlight. I can just imagine that. But this was the process of anointing. So God anointed prophets to reveal him to us, and priests to reveal or to do the work of God to reconcile us to God. Well, the third role that God's anointed played was that of sovereignty. God's sovereignty ruled the world so that his purposes might be fulfilled. And the work of those who were anointed for that purpose was that of the kings. Kings were anointed for God's work of ruling. Samuel anointed both Saul and David, and you'll remember that from last year's study. And again, it was this oil that was poured over his head. And Scripture says that when he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came on him in power. That's in 1 Samuel 16:13. So the king was going to be responsible now for subduing the people's enemies. And you saw David do that time after time. And then provide justice for living in a cohesive environment. So these were all things that God wanted us to know and to have at our, because we are in a world of hurt otherwise, having left that garden scenario. So God's anointed could be a prophet who spoke his word, a priest who offered sacrifices, making intercession for us, or a king or a ruler who would subdue the people's enemies and provide justice in kingdom life. But as the Old Testament story progressed, there was a growing expectation that one day God would send an anointed one par excellence. And the world was always open to new truth. They always had sin that needed more sacrifices. And they always had enemies that needed to be subdued. So the people had a high expectation for this anointed one that was still to come. But just as people are today, they were then too. And they were each partial to their own limited perspectives. I can just imagine that someone was interested in reformation to worship. That must be what the anointed one would bring. Or maybe someone was interested in a new teacher of righteousness. Or perhaps there would be a freedom fighter that would come and rise up against the Romans. So you can see how each of them, with their own preferences, wanted someone for their benefit. No different than we are today. Well, anticipation ran high. But then God did something that no one expected. He anointed his own son to fulfill not only these one of these roles, but all three of them. All three of them. The father said to the son, "You go. You be the prophet. You speak truth and righteousness to them. Let them see who I am by the words you share, by how you interact with them. Let them know how much I love them, and I desire to heal their diseases and reconcile their brokenness. Restore them to myself." And so he did. And there's evidence in John of this. In fact, the truth was hidden in the discovery of the Samaritan woman who recognized Jesus as Messiah. And she said, "And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us." And Jesus said, "I am he." And then there was the time that Jesus was taunted by his brothers. "Oh, you need to go up to the feast with us. Then you'll be well known." You know, just kind of goading him. But it was later that Jesus went up to the Temple Mount at the Feast of Booths. And the Jews were astonished at his teaching. And they said, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" And they couldn't figure it out. And Jesus' response was, the teaching is not my own, but it's of him who sent me. Always revealing the Father. Do you remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus by night. And he didn't understand what it meant to be born again? Or what about the blind man in John chapter 9? He was healed by Jesus on the Sabbath, which of course was a big mistake. But it left that man with an amazing testimony that he actually got to share three times. And he finally concluded, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Once I was blind, but now I see. This is Jesus, the prophet. And the Father said to the Son, you go and you become the high priest for them. You let them know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father but through you. You be the great shepherd. You even be the door to the sheepfold. You reveal to them that just like John the Baptist spoke, you are the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Did you realize that Pilate found no fault in him? Not even in a trial could they find fault with him. But Jesus willingly took on himself the penalty of our sin and bore our shame when he died on the cross in our place. But not before pronouncing with a strong voice from the cross, it is finished. His mission was accomplished. His body was buried by the hands of believers, but on the third day, nobody could find him. The stone had been rolled away. Soldiers had been posted, but that didn't apparently do any good. He overcame death and the grave with a glorious resurrection. Just bloop, was out of there. And he appeared with this new body that could go through doors and windows and just arrive. And furthermore, he could eat and it didn't have any effect on him. Good stuff. But we also know that he presently sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us as we continue on our journey with the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. And the Father said to the Son, you go. You ready your kingdom and then become their king. Become their Lord. Explain to them that your kingdom is not of this world, it's not of this realm, but it's one that offers everlasting life. Serve them, break bread with them, wash their feet, celebrate the feasts with them, show them how to care and love one another, feed them, teach them to abide in you, just like you abide in me, in order to produce fruit. For without me, they can do nothing. Heal their sick, raise their dead, deliver them from the entrapment of sin and death. Set them free to live abundantly for God by your power, and give them the Holy Spirit to help them live here on earth. Tell them that our heavenly kingdom is where justice and righteousness awaits them, and that you're preparing a place for them and going to come back and get them and receive them unto yourself. Teach them to listen to your voice and trust it. Calm their fears. Remind them that because the world hated you first, it's going to hate them too. pray for them, that they would be one, even as we are one. Then call them to follow your lead, to come in close, and entrust them with the good news of the gospel, and make them fishers of men, giving all people opportunity for a future and a hope. Ladies, I hope your hearts are singing. This is the evidence John lays out in his gospel to show us that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One, since before time began. As prophet, he's the revealer of truth. As high priest, he's the reconciler of mankind to God, even the perfect sacrifice. And finally, as King and Lord, he has won the victory over our greatest enemy. He was in the beginning, partnering with God in creation, the very Word of God. In him is life, and life is the light of men. He became flesh, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is God with us, making the love of the Father known to us by laying down his life and taking it up, providing redemption and life everlasting to those who believe. Let your heart sing to the praise of his glory. Amen.